and welcome back to the Tokyo Adventures podcast.
Number 5.
Cats, cats, cats.
Cats, cats, cats.
That's a How I Met Your Mother reference.
Yeah, that was a good show. I liked it.
Yeah, if you know the show, it's from the captain.
Yeah, the captain.
His girlfriend. Was it his girlfriend?
I don't know who she was. But she was like,
she wasn't there very long in the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, she said, boats, boats, boats.
Boats, boats, boats.
So now we use it for things randomly.
Yep. Someone's going to get a kick out of that.
Yeah. So we had some requests from our last episode to talk more about our cats.
Yes.
Because they made a
guest star.
Was it just one of them?
Or both? I think it was just Nova.
It was just Nova. Came in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was in the episode a lot last week.
Attacking my microphone.
Yes. And people wanted to know about them. So we're going to give you a little info on who they are and what kind of cats they are and pets in Japan.
Yeah. We'll start out with their origin story.
Yeah. Origin story. I grew up with lots of animals.
Yeah, you did.
And not just like the traditional cats and dogs. We had goats and chickens and pigs. And we were rescuing cats and dogs all the time. So I probably had maybe 10, 15 dogs and cats at a time in the house.
Yeah, you had them in the house and outside. I remember the first time I came over to your house and you mentioned you had animals and that was about it. And then I went in there and I think there was a goat on the couch.
A goat on the couch. Yeah, my family let in the goats and chickens occasionally. They were an interesting family.
Yeah, you had like 1 acre, less than an acre? Something
yeah,
like
we
that?
Had an acre. It wasn't that many. We had like, I don't know, 4 or 5 goats, maybe less. And we had, I think, never more than like 30 to 50 chickens. They had their cool little coop. And we had a pig once, but he rooted out of the fence and we never saw him again.
Oh, so. Yeah. I remember that. I remember holding the little, was it one pig or was it multiple?
No, it was just one pig.
Really?
Yeah, I think my dad rescued him, and he was little when we got him, and then he got really big, and you could not hold him, because they're just pure muscle.
I remember that, because I came over, and I never held a pig, and you're like, all right, try this out, and I didn't know what to expect, and I go down, I'm like, okay, I'm picking up like a dog or something, right?
Yeah, no.
And I go to pick it up, and it's like, and it freaks out, and this thing's just dragging me along, you know, an adult hoonam human, you know, and... Yeah, it was crazy. I had no idea that they were that powerful.
Yeah, pigs are insane.
Kind of makes me think about hogs, like in the wild.
Yeah.
Makes it
Phil didn't really know about hogs. He didn't know about hogs.
Not at all.
Yeah, we went hunting because I grew up in the country. We'll talk more about that in some future episodes. But I grew up in the country. I went deer hunting with my dad, and it would not be uncommon to run into some wild hogs, and they're very dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, if you see them, get up a tree as fast as you can because they will kill you.
I had no idea. I was like, oh, it's just like pigs in a forest. You know, that's kind of cool.
That's extremely off topic.
Anyways, back to cats, cats,
back
cats.
To cats. So I grew up with a bunch of animals, and it's something I know I want for the rest of my life. I always want to have cats personally, and then when we can do it, I want to have a dog. But cats are like a necessity of life for me.
Right.
And then Phil didn't grow.
I think they're like on equal standing as I am. You know,
yeah.
It's me and the cats.
Cats first, then you.
But I know Phil, where I stand.
Phil did not grow up with cats, if you want to take your side.
Yeah. So I grew up as a dog person. Naturally, I always liked animals growing up. I used to volunteer at like a horse ranch and stuff. So I even wanted to be a veterinarian for a long time.
I did too.
Yeah.
We both grew up wanting to be vets.
We kind of related over that whenever we first met. Mm-hmm. The part that was hard for me, just to close that story, is I realized that vets work with animals that are always suffering, and I do better with happy animals. I get really emotional. Yeah, you're the same.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
Yep. So anyways, I grew up with dogs. We always had smaller dogs like schnauzers and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Poodle?
We had a schnoodle.
Oh, schnoodle.
Schnauzer.
That's
poodle.
Right. Yeah.
I think they were always schnauzers that I can remember. I'm sure my mom's like, what? No, we had this other dog. But
you only ever had one dog at a time too, right?
Yeah. We always had one.
I never had less than 15 animals at a time.
Oh my gosh. Technically, I had more than a dog though. I had a dog and birds and fish.
Oh, yeah, you had hella fish.
I did. So I was allowed to spend my own money and have my pets, and so I put them all inside my room. So at one point, I had 3 fish tanks full of fish, tons of them. I was like propagating plants and stuff, super nerdy. And I had 5 birds and a dog.
You had 5 birds?
Yeah.
In your room?
In my room.
Oh my gosh.
I had 4, what was it? 4 parakeets and a parrotlet, a miniature parrot.
Oh, I didn't know that it was that many. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I had to clean it every day. I just
feel like you had like 1 or 2 birds, and I know you had a ton of fish.
No, they would be very loud.
Oh, I can't believe your mom let you have that.
I know. I loved it though. I clean their cage all the time because it's in my room, so naturally I'm the only one that's going to suffer.
Right.
So yeah, anyways, I had dogs. I'm sure I would have loved cats too, but the biggest thing is that my mom is allergic to cats, and I inherited that, which we actually just found out recently that it's proven that I do have an allergy.
Yeah, we actually got allergy tested here because
it's cheap
to get medical things done here. So we finally got some allergy testing, and we proved for sure that Philip is super allergic to cats.
Yeah, it's like everything's fine, and then there's cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, so never had cats.
Your family didn't really like cats either.
Yeah, they weren't a huge fan.
Yeah.
Which, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit, I don't know where that kind of came from, but I always kind of grew up a little bit against cats.
Yeah.
And then my brother, when he moved out of the house and he got married, I guess it was before he got married, or when he got, I don't know. He got a cat and he had that, and that was kind of my first exposure to a cat.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't a good experience though.
I had allergies to it all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I liked it. It was a cat.
Yeah.
It just kind of sat around and did cat things.
Yeah. So he didn't grow up with cats. I grew up with a ton of cats. Cats were a deal breaker, essentially, for me.
She's so, like, do you like cats?
Well, he came over to my house the first time. And
oh, man.
His allergy reaction was so intense.
Oh, I get all swollen and stuffy. It's not like a death allergy.
Not like anaphylactic. It's more like his eyes get super red and they start just pouring with tears.
I get stuffy. And they get really swollen.
He can't breathe.
I'm just miserable.
He's really miserable. So I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. I can breathe, just not through my nose. My nose gets stuffed up.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
So I definitely still wanted cats, and I'm like, well, we'll figure this out later. And then we got engaged and we got married, and I wanted a cat.
Right. And I wanted a dog.
Right.
So naturally we compromised and got cats.
That's right. So we actually ended up adopting a cat from a shelter before we got married.
Yeah.
And we wanted it to be our first cat, and we were just going to work it out. But unfortunately, we didn't know, but the cat was super sick with an upper respiratory infection.
Which is common from a lot of rescues.
Very common in rescues and shelters that cats spread it, because it's very contagious and it can be very deadly. So we didn't know, and they said it was healthy. And we brought it home to my parents' house, and it was going to stay there until we got married and got our own place. But unfortunately, it infected several of my other childhood cats, and they ended up dying. About, I think 4 of them ended up dying.
That was a really rough time.
Plus the cat we adopted. So it was really rough on us when we adopted, and I took probably a year before we adopted another animal.
Yeah.
So
that was pretty tough. It was a big hit, just because those are your childhood cats.
Yeah, I grew up with them. I mean, they were well into their teens, so I'd had them all of my childhood that I could remember.
Yeah.
So it was really rough.
You were a cat master.
Yeah. Anyway, so we got married, and I'm like getting the cat itch. Like, I want a cat.
So this is the point where it's like, okay, cats versus dogs, right?
Well, and we knew we couldn't get a dog because we were both working.
Right.
And it just doesn't make sense when you can't be home to take care of it. We want a puppy. We wanted to have them from young so we can have them, you know, a long time. And we are both working and we can't be there for it. So it's just not a feasible thing. And it still isn't right now. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. So I'm like, okay, I have to find a cat that works with Philip.
I'm like, surely I've won the cat versus dog battle.
No.
And dogs will become victorious eventually.
No.
But Jenny found a way.
There are some cats that are okay with people with allergies. And that usually is the naked cats, because they don't have any fur.
Yeah, hypoallergenic cats.
Yeah. So, turns out, there's these really beautiful cats called Bengals.
Dun, dun, dun.
And oftentimes, they are totally fine with people with allergies.
Yeah. So commonly people are allergic to either like the spit, the saliva of a cat, or their dander, their fur.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of varies person to person.
The dander layer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like some people are fine with dander, but they're allergic to the saliva. I found that out. So if they get licked, it bothers them.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the dander.
Yeah. And I mean, Mowgli licks all the time and it doesn't bother you at all.
Yeah.
So I did a bunch of research, found out Bengals were going to be okay. They're obviously very beautiful if you've ever seen a Bengal. They look like little leopards.
They're amazing.
Yes.
So what's a Bengal?
So a Bengal is a mix between an Asian leopard cat and a regular domestic house cat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're practically the same size as a normal cat, maybe like around 15 pounds, so on the bigger side of a cat.
Yeah.
But they're still cat size.
We got to see one and meet one, too.
Yeah, we got to meet an actual Asian leopard cat.
They're very family-oriented.
Yeah.
Like, they take care of their kin, their family, but they also tend to
They attach to one person.
Yeah.
Really strongly, the Asian leopard cat. And so the one that we got to meet, his name was Luce Theron. And he was just a little guy. And our cats actually did not come from him, because he had just been purchased by the person we got our cats from. But he was really sweet. He ate raw meats and we got to pet him and mm-hmm. he was really attached to the owner. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
And he had his own cattery. Like they had a whole place for him to go. So it was really cool.
Yeah. It was cool to see where he lived and just how it's definitely not a normal cat.
It
looks completely different. Yeah. Its mannerisms are different.
Yeah.
It's kind of like whenever you see a lion or a tiger. It
sounds different.
Yeah, and you think it's still a cat, but it's just completely different in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, so initially I'm like, okay, I want a Bengal. How do I get one? How much do they cost?
I'm still skeptical at this point, right? Yeah. Because I'm the one with the allergies thinking, I don't want a cat if I'm just going to be stuffy all the time.
And I don't want him to be miserable either. Right. So it was more like, okay, let's look into this and let's go see them and see how you react. So I did find a place. We were in North Carolina at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a place and it looked reputable because there are a lot of irresponsible and greedy breeders out there. So please, please, if you look into this and adopting is not an option for you with Bengals, please look into responsible breeders, not someone who's just pumping out kittens to get money, but people who let their cats breed naturally.
Yeah. So why did you look into a breeder?
Yeah, I think that's important to talk about. Breeder, number one, we wanted Bengals because we knew it was safe with mm-hmm. Philip.
Right. So it has to be a specific breed.
Right. And we did go test before we even talked about purchasing a kitten.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip actually did great with them. No reaction. Yeah.
So that was interesting. So naturally, I'm thinking, okay, prepare myself for torture. I'm going to go to a place where there's a ton of Bengals. So we went to go see one. And there were like 15, 20 Bengals just running around. Super adorable. Oh my gosh. It was amazing.
So cute.
And so I just went full blast. I'm like, all right, let's just test this and get it over with. So, you know, pick him up, rub him on my face, you know, like mm-hmm. let him lick me all over, get mm-hmm. fur all over me. Just the full dosage. And I left there totally fine. It was the weirdest experience.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. I was pretty excited because I'm like, hey, I can actually interact with cats.
Yeah. And not all Bengals are that way. They have to be a certain amount of the Asian leopard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have them listed as like F1, F2, F3, and it goes down from there. And
the price matches too.
The price matches with the level of Bengal. So you'll have to find what works for you if you're looking for a hypoallergenic or dander-free cat.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons we did it. But also, you know, we knew we wanted a kitten because Philip had never had a cat before. And I wanted him to experience kittenhood, which is... They're just little crazy psychopaths.
Oh, my gosh.
And
they're
so
insane.
Cute and they're so fun. So I wanted him to have that kittenhood.
It was worth it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved experiencing that and just being a part of them growing up, watch them. Also, you know, they attach to you. They get to know you, which that's kind of a funny thing coming up
whenever we talk
about Momo. Yeah.
But, you know, there were no Bengal kittens available anywhere that we could get them. And not only that, even if there were, there's no guarantee that that specific kitten would work with Philip's allergies.
Right.
So it's kind of a very small spot mm-hmm. of what we need, and there's not a lot of that.
Right.
Because they're popular kittens, even if they were in the system, they would be taken immediately.
If you can just have any cat, I mean, you can usually go and, you know, rescue one. That's great.
And but, I've done that all my life.
Right. And I had to do something very specific in order to let Jenny have a cat, basically.
Yeah. And just as a note, I always push adopt, don't shop. It's not what I would have done if I could have done it differently. So please go adopt a cat before you shop for a cat. Yeah. There are plenty of cats out there that need homes. Anyway, so those are the main reasons. And then also we, you know, just come off of adopting that cat and losing so many. I was honestly a little scarred from it for a bit.
Well, you were terrified because it's like, do you go get another cat and then watch it go away?
So those were ultimately why we did what we did. And I found a place and we went and visited them. And we ended up getting a discount cat.
Oh, yeah. So
someone had originally put the down payment for this kitten. And I had been watching it online. And I'm like, oh, he's so cute. And he's got these beautiful green eyes and his like little orange spotted coat. And someone had reserved him. And so I'm like, okay, I'll keep looking. And then the breeder reached out to me and said, hey, someone actually fell through on the deposit for this cat. And we have new kittens coming. So we would like to, you know, get him to a home as soon as possible. That way he can start his journey. But we can give you a discount. And normally he would be around $1,000, which is a lot for a cat. It's a lot. But it is not a lot for a Bengal.
Right.
And we actually ended up only paying $400 for him. So I'm like, for sure, we'll be down there.
We were so excited.
Yeah.
So when we got there, oh man, he was just awesome looking, super orange. Oh
my gosh, he's so cute.
Velvety. So a fun thing about Bengals. So I guess I didn't really explain this, but Bengals are hypoallergenic, or they don't bother me because they have a pelt instead of a coat.
Yes. So they don't have a dander layer.
Right. So it's that dander layer doesn't exist, and that's what normally bothers me. And so he was super orange. He had these awesome spots and everything, and he was super playful.
Beautiful green just eyes.
Just instantly killing my heart.
Yeah.
He was adorable, and he's running around. He's chasing his mom around, you know, annoying the heck out of her.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. Yeah, seeing him in his kittenhood running around. We're like, all right, sold.
Yes. And he's such a chill little dude. Because we lived in North Carolina, but we drove down to South Carolina because that's where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a, 4-hour drive?
Yeah. It's up by the coast.
Yeah. So we drove down there and we're like, oh, it's going to be kind of a miserable drive home.
Right.
But he literally slept in Philip's lap for 4 hours straight.
Oh, man. All of that playing that he did finally tuckered him out. And so I don't remember who drove back and forth. But
well, we split. So I drove first
so
that you could hold him, I think.
Yeah.
And then we got lunch and then we split and then he laid in my lap. But he slept the entire time.
He slept the whole way home and he just like cuddled and he was laying on my lap and like.
Yeah.
Meep up at me and everything. Oh.
Which is great because this is all Phil's like
first cat
initial
experiences,
cat
you know?
Experience.
Yeah.
So we got Momo. His name is actually Mowgli, but
like the
we call
book.
Yeah, Mowgli like the Jungle Book. That's actually what the breeder named him, and we thought it was really cute, so we kept it. But as time went on, we ended up basically calling him Momo.
Momo. Yeah, it kind of derived into Momo.
Yeah, and Momo, I originally got from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
But I love Momo, and Momo actually is a name in Japanese as well.
It's Peach.
Peach. So
yeah. So it's kind of derived into a Japanese name, and now he's a Japanese kitty.
Yeah. So we got Momo,
and
he was crazy.
Oh, wow. So that little ball of cuddly love that was in my lap as we were going back finally regained his energy getting home and was just curious and exploring everywhere. Actually, at first, whenever you bring cats home or just pets in general, you always try to be careful, you know, let them explore around. People are like, keep them to one area, let them get used to that room and then explore more. But Mowgli just wanted to explore everything. He was super
curious. He's scared of nothing. He's so like interested. He wants to see everything, be in everything. He's just fearless.
Yeah.
And so he acclimated super well. And he had been used to having siblings and his parents to play with, so he wanted to play all the time.
Right.
And
which was fun. I mean,
I'm used
to dogs, and so this is my first experience with cats.
Right.
And Momo was super playful, would run around. He'd even play fetch. Like, you'd throw
a Bengals ball. Play fetch. That's a pretty common thing, actually.
You and throw bring a little it back to you.
Crumpled piece of paper and throw it. Bengals will bring it right back. It's super cute.
It's so amazing.
So we had him maybe a few months.
Yeah.
And we could just really tell he needed someone to play with.
And he also started trying to play more aggressively with us.
Yeah.
So he'd start like trying to play with our ankles and things like that.
Yeah, he would try to attack our ankles. If you like, had cats, you know that cats like to play fight, and it's just part of cat nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tried to do that with our ankles, and it just wasn't fun. So
it's like, all right, this is something we got
to
stop here.
We had to get a second Bengal, which is great.
It's the only solution. Get more cats.
It is the only solution. But it's good because, you know, like we said, we work, and we wanted him to have a buddy so that they could play together and snuggle, and they don't grow up alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up looking again for, mm-hmm. you know, a potential Bengal to adopt. It's not something that was available.
Yeah.
So I actually found a different breeder because the breeder we got Momo from didn't have any kittens,
mm-hmm.
which was fine. I'm not going to pressure that. So we ended up finding a different breeder who was also very reputable. And that's where we met the Asian leopard cat, Luce Theron.
Right.
So they had a whole cage, like an elaborate cage set up for the Asian leopard cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to meet their...
It wasn't a cage. It was...
It's not like a cage. It's like they built a whole, like, shed thing.
Yeah, it was like a giant shed with multiple levels
for
him to run
around.
Yeah, it was
really nice. But they had their own two personal Bengals that they mm-hmm. let breed naturally. They didn't force them. So we got to meet them, and they're like, hey, we'll start having kittens in, like, the next few months or whatever if you mm-hmm. want to come meet them. And we're like, cool. We'll reserve one of the kittens. And then we waited a few months, and then out popped little Nova.
Oh, wow. That is a bundle of something.
She is wild.
She, yeah, just to see their temperament between the two, it's nuts. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like that's kind of always the story whenever you have two pets, two children, whatever.
Yeah.
One is always completely opposite.
Yeah.
And in this case, Momo is just... super loving, adorable,
chill.
Wants to play with you.
Yeah.
We didn't mention too, I don't know what happened, but Mowgli took a liking to me.
Oh, yeah. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait to live on Momo.
Jane's
I'm going to be
person.
His favorite, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Mowgli completely attached to Philip.
I don't know if it's because he sensed the, like, you know, anti-cat that I'm still dealing with or something.
Yeah.
You know, and she sensed... you know, I don't know if it's like cats like the person that's not going and loving them. You know,
they want to work for it.
Yeah, they want to work for it. Harder is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mowgli just completely attached to me.
Yep.
Would follow me around, go around everywhere. I don't know if it's because, you know, I'm a guy and I have hair and I'm warm and smelly, you know.
Yeah. So now Momo is a complete daddy's boy.
He is.
And it drives me crazy because I will literally be out in the living room and Phil's, you know, he's working from home. He's on a call.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, come here, Mo. You know, come sit in my lap. I'll pet you. I'll give you snugs. And he's just in the hallway at Philip's door like, meow. He wants in there. He does not want anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't hate me. He just wants Philip.
Yeah. And he'll eventually like go hang out by you. And then as soon as I come out or I come home or something.
He like. Runs off my lap to
just
get to
bolts
Philip.
And then runs and follows me.
Yeah. Sucks.
And he lets me hold him in like a special way where he puts his paws over my arms.
Yeah.
And I just walk around the house and I show him stuff.
He like turns into a cat puddle and he just lays in Philip's arms and Philip will walk around the house and let Momo just sniff things.
Yeah. I'll let him.
And if I try, he just won't have it.
I don't know why. He only does it with me.
I know. It's not fair. Anyway, we ended up getting Nova.
Mm-hmm.
She was born. We got to see her first day baby pictures. We got to see her grow up until she was old enough to go home with us.
Totes adorbs.
Yeah, very cute. And Mowgli is very orange, mm-hmm. and Nova is more like a gold.
Right.
And
she has a stronger pattern because she's a little bit more wild than Mowgli is.
Yeah, she's a higher level Asian leopard cat than he is.
And it comes out in her personality.
Yeah. She definitely has a wild streak to her. She's a lot more distant, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a cat way where they just kind of ignore you and lay. It's more like in a a wild cat way, where they kind of like sit up and observe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she watches.
Yeah, and she doesn't like to be picked up.
It makes me think of, so on the flip side, Mowgli likes to love me, like he wants to be laying on my face, basically. Yeah. Like, he comes up and lays, basically...
He needs attention 24/7.
On my, like, shoulder, neck, just staring at me 1 inch from my face, and he'll try to lick my nose. Like he's
creeper.
That close. And he just sits there all the time. Like, that's one of his favorite spots.
Yeah,
is
he
just
loves it.
Right there. If it's me on the computer or if we're watching a show, he's just there and just looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side, Nova is somewhere, like, 6 feet away,
mm-hmm.
just observing us, watching. You know, like, just... watching creepily, yeah. And that's her affection time.
Yeah,
she's like, ah, we had a great moment, you know, we stared at each other from across the room. Yeah. Good stuff.
When we first got her too, she was kind of ambivalent of us. She's just like, Mowgli's her brother, so they hung out and she didn't really care that much about us.
Mm-hmm.
But as she's gotten older, she's gotten very attached to us.
She's like learning little moments of affection time, like, yeah. Oh, petting is nice.
She didn't like petting at the beginning. She never liked being picked up. She didn't like a lot of cuddling. But as she's gotten older, she likes to cuddle. She likes to be petted.
It's little doses, too.
Still doesn't like to be picked up, but she loves affection. And she'll come up to us and she'll ask for it now.
You can tell.
Like a couple little pets. She's so sweet.
If she's in the mood, she comes up and then, like, your hand goes out and her neck kind of, like, stretches and she kind of leans into it.
Yeah.
And then you pet her and it's, like, 5 seconds. She's like...
Okay,
that was great. Okay, bye.
She takes off.
Good times.
And Bengals are very, very vocal, as you heard in our last podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that they're like crying or whining. They literally just talk all day long.
So I don't know, honestly, if my perspective of cats is jaded now because of Bengals.
Oh, it totally is.
My perception of cats is they're tons of fun. They're super lovey. They run around the house like crazy. They have tons of energy.
Yeah.
They play on a cat tree and climb.
Yeah.
They talk everywhere. They follow you. That's my experience.
Yeah. And that's not regular cats from my many years of experience. So you got lucky.
Yeah.
So they love to talk. They love to play. They love attention.
They like running.
They love to run back and forth in the house. That was actually one of the big things about house shopping. We had to make sure we had space for them to run.
Yeah, like a specific, I would call it like a flight path.
Like a runway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nova will run, and she'll just run from, like, one bedroom all the way down the hallway into the
living
room.
Climbing up her something. Cat
yeah,
tree.
Run up the cat tree.
Flip around a few times. Yeah. Run back down. Run to the bedroom.
And then Mowgli will be creeping somewhere and then try to jump her on her path.
He stalks her.
He does.
So that was something we really looked at when we were getting a house. And that actually leads me into cats in Japan and in pets in Japan in general, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's quite a process to have a pet. And
it is.
We'll talk a little bit more when we talk about our experience coming to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things we had to do is make a decision if we wanted to bring the cats. And that was really hard for us because we
tough.
had the cats for 6 years.
Right.
And we knew that there's going to be a lot of difficulties bringing cats into Japan.
Right.
And for a long time, we went back and forth, even before we knew we were coming. But I'm like, I can't be separated from them. These are our cats, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we decided before we even got a job offer, we're going to keep the cats.
Right.
We'll see what happens after we get it. So we get the job offer, and we know now that we are going to have to be apart for 5 months.
Ooh.
Yeah. So... basically, the steps for bringing a cat to Japan, or any animal from Japan, from the U.S., it does vary from country to country, so make sure you please do your research.
Yeah, don't just jump into it and say it's fine, because there was a lot of planning involved for actually bringing them over.
So much planning.
You have to do very specific dates. You need to have your plane ticket. Like you need.
I can
to...
break it down real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, go for it.
So, in the United States, essentially, you need a 9-month period from the day you find out you're moving to Japan until you can bring your animal into Japan. So, it is not a short period. You need to plan ahead. Basically, they have to have rabies shots at specific dates, and they'll get one, and then I think 30 days will pass, and then they'll get a second one.
Right.
And when they get that second one, they then have to have a titer test. And that titer test is basically, they check the serum levels of the rabies vaccine in their blood.
So basically just verifying that they're healthy.
Yeah.
They don't have any of these issues. And there's a reason for it, though, for Japan, why it's so strict, right?
Yeah, because there is no rabies in Japan. So
cool stuff.
Right. Well, it's an island, so
yeah.
Makes sense. So they don't want to bring rabies here. I get it. But that test is over $1,000 per cat.
It is a lot of money.
So it's not something we could get started before we got the okay that, yeah, we're moving to Japan. Because, I mean, that's over $2,000 we're spending to get this done.
Right. That's just for that part, too.
Just for that part. So once we get those tests done, they are sent off, and about a month later, we'll hear back if it's positive or negative. Mm-hmm. If it's positive, then a 6-month quarantine period will begin. If it's not positive, then
more quarantine.
We'll have to do the whole thing over again. So the 6-month quarantine period sounds intimidating, like they're sitting in a cage for 6 months. Quarantine in this sense just means 6 months' time must pass between when they got that rabies titer test positive and when you enter Japan.
Right. So they were literally at home and everything.
They were just chilling at home with me. So Phil went to Japan.
Yep.
And then
no cats.
No cats, but everything we owned.
Yeah.
I don't want to go but too far into our story. Yeah, don't spoil
too much of it.
So I had to hang back with the cats for 5 months, literally just because of the cats.
Right. That means we had to temporarily find an apartment.
A place for me to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had to like figure out that period. Yeah. It was a lot.
Yeah. So the 5 months went by and finally I went over. You flew back.
I flew back. Yeah.
And we took, because you can only have one pet per person.
Right. It's one pet per person. So if you have two, you need two people.
Yes. And there is a ton of paperwork that you have to get done. So please connect with your vet. Tell them you're doing international travel. You'll be bringing a pet. There are tons of different documents that have to be filled out, some by the USDA. And I forget what the other ones are. You have to also declare that you're bringing pets into Japan. I believe it's 45 days before you enter.
Something like that.
And that is a piece of paper that has to be emailed to them. So do your research, because Japan does not play. If there is something misspelled, if a date doesn't match, they will reject you.
And then you have to start the process over again.
And then you have to start the entire process over again.
And your flight, it ties to your flight, too. Yes. So if that messes up, you need to shift
your flight. Part of the declaration that you send to Japan, the airport that you're going to, says that you will be entering Japan on this day. You'll be on this flight at this time. You'll be bringing these animals. And if you don't make it there when you have at the time you said you were going to, they'll reject you.
Right.
Not only that, there are only so many animals allowed on an international flight at a time.
And they don't reserve specific slots either. No. It's just on the fly.
You have to call ahead and request. Say, I am moving my animal to Japan.
Right.
I'll be on this flight. I want to request that my animal is one of the two animals that is allowed on this flight. And I really encourage you to keep checking back and keep checking back. I would check out the day before you go. I would check the morning before you go. Just do it again and again and again, because I have heard several times that people are like, oh yeah, I called and they'll be on there. And they're like, sorry, we have other pets. You can't go.
Yeah.
So please keep checking back. I don't want someone to get stranded.
Right. All right. So anyway, for us, we got him over here. It was successful. Everything worked out. Jenny's temporary apartment, holding on to the cats, me figuring out stuff we'll talk about later. Got the cats over. Woohoo!
Yep. So, pets and apartments.
Yeah.
In Japan is tough.
So, a little bit about Japan apartments. There's a million of them. Yes. They're all out there.
Yep.
If you are a foreigner, that cuts like 50% of your available odds.
Yeah, because unfortunately,
whole different reasons why, but
unfortunately, there is some places that do not want to rent to foreigners.
Right.
Somewhat is understandable because they've been left behind where foreigners just up and leave, and they still have a year on their lease. Or
whatever. They have valid reasons for that as an option.
Sometimes.
Some of them do.
Some
of them, yeah, some of them are definitely discrimination.
Yeah.
I think the origination of that concept was because people were coming into Japan, they're staying for 3 months and then just leaving, and then it leaves a bunch of places without money, and it messes it all up. So then they get frustrated,
Yeah.
et cetera. So there's the foreigner checkbox of like, is this allowed for foreigners?
Check.
Cut 50% of your options down.
You lose a lot of options.
Do you have pets? Mm-hmm. Cut another 50% of your options down.
Yep.
So basically the market for being a foreigner with pets is super limited.
It's very small.
And then a lot of them say, can you only have one pet or can you have two? Can you have cats, dogs,
etc.? Can you have a cat? Can you have a dog? Can you have both? So it's actually pretty difficult, I would say, to bring an animal over here.
Mm-hmm.
We looked
You should really decide beforehand, I think. Do you want an animal here or do you not?
Yeah.
And do you want to bring yours or do you want to get a new one? I think it's important to make the decision beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to know beforehand, like, is it worth going through all this? Is it worth the extra hassle of trying to find a place that accepts me and my pets?
Right.
And for us, it was. Obviously, I stayed behind 5 months to bring them. So
I had my nice 5 month cat break.
Yeah. Well, how did you feel not having cats?
Well, obviously, I'm lonely. Like, you're not there. The cats aren't there. So it's just like all of my attention, affection is just gone to zero. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, naturally, that's tough, but I know that it's just for a period. But some of the great parts were, oh, man, I was living the life of luxury of being able to have, like, you can have plants out, you can have small objects. So, so quick story on this. Bengals are really smart. That's another thing, too.
They're extremely intelligent.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm gonna like, tangent down this for a little bit.
Okay.
So, they're really smart, and they look for trouble. Now, it's not like tearing up your couch kind of trouble. It's more just like they want to find things to play with.
They're curious.
They're curious. Yep. And they're always exploring. Like Mowgli gets in every single drawer that we own.
Mm-hmm.
And for a period, we had to buy locks for our cabinets. Like underneath.
Child locks.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have a baby, right, you have the little locks on underneath the sink for the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
You have your doors. You lock them. You have no small objects, you know, anywhere inside on the ground.
Outlet plug covers.
Yeah, outlet plug covers. So we had all of this. We had outlet plug covers. We had locks underneath the sink.
Yeah.
Basically, from the floor to 9 feet in the air was
cat-proofed,
baby-proofed.
Yep.
So, like, that meant, and they can jump really high. They can jump on top of the fridge from the floor.
Yeah.
So that means anything from that fridge height down, no small objects.
Yep.
Good example is one day we left out a Nerf dart, right? We had a little Nerf gun war.
Yeah.
There's a Nerf dart. Next day, there's no Nerf dart.
No, there was the plastic nub of a Nerf dart. And we're like, what happened to the Nerf dart? And this was before we got Nova, so it was just Mowgli. And we're like, oh my gosh, he ate the Nerf dart. And he did. We were freaking out because we're like, is this going to like back him up? Is he going to have surgery to get this
removed? What happens when your cat eats a Nerf dart?
Right. We take him to the vet and sure enough, there's that Nerf dart chomped up in his belly. But thankfully, it passed on its own.
Yeah. That was when we were trying to train him with the toilet.
Yeah. We actually, when we first got Momo, we were doing toilet training versus a cat box just because apartments get stinky with cat litter.
I kind of wish we finished that because
he
learned. He learned it really fast.
Oh, yeah. Like, he learned supposed it to go super over fast.
Months or whatever.
He learned it in like a week.
Yeah. There's like these little rings, tangent within a tangent here. There's like little rings to try to get them trained and you put litter on it.
Yeah.
And you get them used to litter on the toilet and then you break the inner ring. It's a little one. And you do a little bigger.
The rings get bigger and bigger,
until
it's just the regular seat. And
right.
And then they go to the bathroom and the toilet.
And he like started on ring one. He's like, oh, okay.
Cool.
I get it.
I got it.
And then pop out four rings later within the first week and he's like, yeah, bro,
he's
got
it
this.
Yeah. All that to say, he pooped out the Nerf dart in the toilet. So we actually have a picture of it.
Oh my gosh. Everyone's like, you guys are so weird, you took a picture of cat Nerf
dart. It was hilarious. After we knew he wasn't gonna die.
Yeah, I mean, that was a day of celebration.
So that's when we learned we can't leave anything small or edible size.
Right.
No plastic, no little earrings.
Right. So coming back, my little bit in Japan,
where
I'm on my own, you know, I could leave my keys there, I could leave this small stuff, you know, and just totally enjoy it. I don't know, it was like a little bit of a vacation there.
That was nice, but you were lonely.
But I was so lonely, so.
It gets lonely without animals.
It does.
Like, in that little bit we didn't have them, it was like, man, I miss having all the animals around, a dog or a cat.
So yeah.
It gets tough.
I don't know if I could be without animals.
Now?
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always had animals, forever. Yeah. The only time I didn't was in college.
Yeah, we had
friends.
Even
still, my parents, you know, they had...
You had a roommate.
Had friends.
I didn't mean that like you don't have friends. I mean it like they were like your little buddies.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
You had your roommate, whatever.
Oh, my feet are toasty now.
Oh, yeah. It's Phil's office is pretty small, so it gets mm-hmm. hot in here. So we have the air going.
Japan office size.
Yeah.
It's freezing, and so I made her share some of her blanket.
We'd rather it be freezing than hot, because once it gets hot in here, it's miserable.
Yeah, and it gets really humid.
Yeah.
So we're freezing ourselves out in the middle of Japan summer.
It's great. Anyway, Phil had to look at a bunch of apartments. Mm-hmm. We, you know, check those box. We're foreigners. We have animals.
Right.
So he didn't have that many to look at. We also wanted a place that had two bedrooms. And that had enough space that they could run and enjoy themselves. And we also brought a lot of our large furniture. So we didn't have a lot of options. You looked at, what, 10 places?
Yeah, at least. At I think least. It was 12, something like that.
Yeah. So we eventually decided on one. Perfect. It worked out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about all that at another time. But so you finally got moved into the place. We moved in over here,
mm-hmm.
and it all worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we finally got the cats.
And they liked the place, too.
Oh, they loved it. I was so excited because when we were in, I was back in Seattle with mm-hmm. just the cats. They were really bored because my place was really tiny. And I wasn't home because I was working all day.
It was just like a studio, yeah. too. So it was one big area.
Yeah. Well, not even a big area. It was like
And you didn't have small. Like any of the furniture or anything. So it was just no furniture. A floor,
it's
basically.
Literally a floor. They didn't have their giant cat tower that they have. So they right. were really bored. And
they
so,
used to like a luxurious cat life.
Yeah.
And toys
they literally
and stuff.
Live like the luxe life for yeah. cats.
Oh, and that's right. We actually brought over the cat tree.
Yeah.
We bought a new one.
We knew that. Finding cat supplies can be a little tricky here, especially mm-hmm. a really large tower, which we have for them because they love to climb. They right. love to sleep really high. So we actually shipped a large cat tower with our stuff over.
Right. In the box.
Got, yeah, in the box. So Phil assembled it. And when we got here.
Actually, I did not assemble it.
Oh, well.
So we've always assembled them before. We've had yeah. a couple cat trees. And, you know, yeah. they Nova just climbs up and down it and it has a
loves
scratching
it.
Post.
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes crazy. You'll scratch it and she'll just jump 6 feet in the air and like. So we've had them and we shipped this new one over here mm-hmm. and not to spoil stuff, but there's a moving company yeah. and they helped assemble it and they put up like 90% of it themselves.
Yeah, moving here is
I'm
bomb.
Like, that's so cool. They actually did that. Like yeah. they followed the instructions and set it up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Anyway, let the cats out. Got to see the new house. They're yep. like, my cat tower. So they run up on the cat tower and they love it. And they got their normal cat box back because they mm-hmm. have a kind of a fancy cat box. Because we have two of them. We wanted to get a bigger one.
Right.
They had been using
they're on bare bones,
a like, crappy one
yeah,
back in Seattle.
$10
so they're like, what is this space? So they loved it. And it was great to be back. And like I was saying, finding things like the cat tower is a little bit difficult. The same goes with supplies. So I'm used to having tons and tons of options for litter and food and toys, and there's places all over.
Right.
And while they do have pet places here, the options are a lot more limited, especially for cats. Because
well, I think that's because of the pets that they actually have here.
Well, the pets that they actually have here, yes, but I think most people end up getting dogs.
Yeah.
They well, all, everyone
they can't
wants,
always
like,
afford them because it's always well, small apartments.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that in a sec. But almost everyone here, if they have a dog, it's like a micro dog.
Right.
A
it's
small,
little, tiny
little dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cat section in most pet shops is pretty small.
They sell like the little bags of food, like trial size
Oh my
bags.
Gosh, yeah. So we're used to getting these giant bags for a decent price. And mm-hmm. we get really high-end cat food.
Right.
That's like, you know, natural and healthy.
These cats eat better than we do.
They really do. I didn't know any of these brands, and the brands that I do know, they're really, really expensive. For like a little 1 pound bag is like $25 or something. It's just insane. So I had to do some research about, you know, what brands are available online,
right.
what could I order? And so I ended up actually.
Yeah, what did you find?
Well, I don't remember the name like offhand, but I can put it maybe. Somewhere.
You're talking about the one that we did this
we did
last
before,
time?
Yeah.
Is it Ronnie? Ronin?
Oh, Ronnie. Ronin? Yeah. Ronnie brand, R-O-N-N-I-E.
Ronin would be much better.
Ronin.
Yeah, Ronnie.
And I ended up setting it up where they did auto ship every month. So then I got really high quality cat food.
It saved our butts too.
Yeah. So we got that at a good price, still really expensive, honestly, and it just shipped to the house, and it was great. But in store, it really was difficult to find quality cat food at a decent price.
Yeah.
So you might run into that. I really recommend looking online. And then if you are looking for something, you're welcome to email us at the Tokyo Adventures podcast email, and I can give you some recommendations. But even litter is kind of hard to find. So they're really a fan of, like, the large pieces of litter, like silica balls and
they like clumps of
newspaper.
It's different than what we usually prefer in the U.S.
Well, most people in the U.S. use a clay litter, which we haven't used pretty much since we've had the cats because it's really bad for landfills and things.
You can't dispose of it easily.
Right. And so we had been using this grass litter.
It's like flushable litter, basically.
Yeah, well, you can flush it. So we were used to that for years. And I'm like, oh, no, what are we going to do? All they have are these weird silica balls, and the cats don't want to use that because cats are pretty sensitive with their paws.
They're fancy. They're sensitive. They're like, ew, this feels different. I'm not going to use it.
It's not even our cats. It's just cats in general. Cats are weird.
They're so picky.
They are very picky about texture.
Even their food. Sometimes they're like, I've had too much of this fancy stuff. Fetch me my Taco Bell, peasant. And you have to go switch it up. And they're like, no, I'm tired of this. Bring me my fancy food again.
Yeah, they get
bored of food. They're so fickle with those things.
Anyway, it was the same thing where I ended up having to do some research, and I found the same cat litter, the smart cat litter is what they call it, and it's made of grass. And it's I found that on Rakuten.com. If you're not familiar, it's like a similar to Amazon in Japan.
Yeah, I like Amazon more personally.
Oh yeah, for sure. Right. But
it's kind of, you gotta choose. You can't always choose what you get here.
Yeah,
you just have to go with what you can find.
So I managed to find that specific brand from one seller from Rakuten. So now I have that set up where I can order it whenever I need it at a good price. So we actually got really lucky with that.
So now we got a good setup.
We do, but it took a few months to find everything. Mm-hmm. A little bit of trial and error with food that they didn't really like. Right. So it might be a little bit of trial and error, but you'll eventually get it. And then again, if you have any questions or you want some recommendations, I can definitely help you. Just shoot us an email at the Tokyo Adventures podcast at gmail.com, I believe it is.
Yep.
Vets were something we had to really look into.
Mm-hmm. Trying to find a vet here.
Yeah. Not that they don't have good vets, but I personally wanted one that spoke English.
Right.
And
it's
only
tough doing translations.
Yeah, and only because it's something medical. It's the same as we wouldn't want someone who didn't speak English when we were going for medical checkups. Mm-hmm. We want to understand what is happening, what we need to do. So it was important to me to find an English-speaking vet. And thankfully, there are a couple here.
Well, the cool part is, so it's similar to medical stuff in Japan.
Yeah.
In the U.S., you know, you go for a visit or something and you just get like one shot or whatever. And you have a $400 medical bill with
totally
insurance.
Oh, totally, it was. Yeah. Like, because a checkup is easily like over $100 at our last vet.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what, $60, $70 for a shot for two cats. And then you're like $300,
$400. Right. And so this time, we actually took them to a vet to go get checked up and get their updated rabies shots.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go in. We're like, okay, brace ourselves. Probably a huge medical bill.
Yeah.
And we go there. They get their shots, they get checked out and everything, and how much was it?
Well, they both got the rabies shots, they both got a checkup, and then Mowgli got a blood test because when we were back in Seattle, he had some high numbers. Oh, Mowgli's here. You might hear Mowgli.
He's coming up.
He got up from his nap finally. Yeah, we had to get Mowgli tested because he had some high liver value numbers back in the States, and turns out his numbers were still high, so we got a blood test for him as well. And everything, I think, was... Wait, did we get anything else done? I feel like we got more than that done.
There was something else. I don't remember. Oh.
Hi, Mo.
You gonna come say hi?
Anyway.
Come say hi. It's your podcast.
The whole thing ended up being like $100.
Yeah, it was really cheap.
It was $100. Super cheap.
We were expecting like $600 for this. Yeah. If it were comparable in the U.S.
Yeah, because blood tests can be a couple hundred dollars
by
themselves.
Come say hi.
So.
He's just staring at me now. He's like, you want something. This is suspicious.
So that's another benefit is here. The vet bills are actually not bad.
Yeah.
So you can get the test you need to get done, and it's not going to kill you. So that's great. And we did find through just Googling, there are English vets that were wonderful, and we love our vet. Not going to give out our name, obviously, because we use them, but you can easily find them.
Here's Momo. Say hi, Momo.
Oh. High quality per content.
I'm holding him right now, and he's talking in the mic.
Yeah, so after the vet checkup and the food and the litter, once you figure that out, I think you're doing pretty good. One thing I want to mention, if you don't end up coming with a pet and you decide you want to get one in Japan,
please
do not buy a pet from the pet stores here, because they get all of these great, cute little animals, dogs, cats, and if they are not sold, they're euthanized. And they don't do euthanasia with a chemical euthanasia where they're just put to sleep. They put them in gas chambers, and basically it just sucks the air out of their lungs until they die.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's extremely cruel, and it happens all the time because pets here are very expensive.
They're really expensive. They're like, what? How much was it? A couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, they can be like $800 to a couple thousand dollars for a little dog or cat.
I thought I saw like $3,300 for.
It just depends on the animal. But they're extremely expensive to buy from a pet shop here. And I just really don't want to support places that they basically trash these animals, breed them and trash them if they're not adopted.
Right.
So definitely try to find a place to do adoption. There are tons of great animals here. Not everyone's going to have the restrictions that Phillips has. So please go adopt.
Momo's loving on me.
You may run into where people don't want to adopt a pet out to you. Just be aware that as a foreigner.
Yeah, there's always that foreigner card.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I think sometimes even in pet shops, they won't let you adopt an animal because they think that you will move to your country in a year or whatever.
Right, and then you're just going
to
abandon it.
You'll abandon the animal. So oftentimes they will not let you adopt. So you might have to shop around a bit as well. So that's something to just prepare yourself for.
Right. Well, did we tell him what... Yeah, I guess we told him about Nova. So we have Momo and Nova, but we've always called them... So before moving here, this is just a random...
Sorry, thing. Before you go ahead. Into that, the very last thing I wanted to talk about information-wise.
Go ahead, go for it.
Natural disasters in pets.
Because
we recently had to kind of test this.
Yeah, this is new for us. Yeah. Grew up in Texas... Texas doesn't really have, I'm thinking, well, they have tornadoes. They don't have a lot of natural disasters in the sense
like
of earthquakes
Japan.
And things like that.
Because Japan has tsunamis. Earthquakes, they have tsunamis, they have floods, they have landslides, they have volcanoes.
Yeah, it's the worst.
So there's a lot that's here. And just a few days ago, we had a false alarm go off, and it's the big alarm where it's like, hey, this is going to be, I think, a 7.
Oh, it freaks the crap out of you.
It is loud. We were still
asleep. Good, though, right? You want the alarm to be intense.
Yeah. So now we know that when this alarm goes off, it's going to be a big quake.
It's like supposed to be a 7 or above.
Yeah, it's like a 7 or above. I'm almost certain.
Yeah.
So we heard this and we're like, okay, we had already talked about this and planned it.
This was middle of the night, too.
No, it wasn't middle of the night. This was the other morning.
Oh.
We just slept in late. It was like
9.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so... A false alarm went off because the system's automated and it thought it was going to be bigger than it was. Didn't end up being big. But
we're in bed.
Yeah.
Half conscious.
We had talked about this previously. Philip is going to grab Momo and I'm going to grab Nova. And we're going to huddle into the hallway, shut all the doors.
It's closest to the staircase.
The stairwell, right? Yeah. And there's no windows. So we know that that's probably the best we can do.
We just also watched Tokyo or Japan Sinks 2020. And so that definitely gets you like mentally conscious of like, oh no.
It was stressful.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting Japan to sink. That's not what I'm thinking. So it's scary.
We're just making a plan. And then we watch that and we're like, okay, let's
get
everything
figured out. We need to prepare better.
So this alarm goes off.
So the alarm goes off. You and I both grab the cats. We're shutting the doors. We have cat bags to put them in. They're backpacks that we can put the cats in. That way, if we need to run, they are safe and strapped in. And I highly recommend getting that, because having a carrying case is just not feasible when you're trying to run. If you need to get into a vehicle, or you need to climb somewhere, or you're on a bicycle, having a cat backpack or a dog backpack and also, I think it's crucial.
Cool, too, because then you can just backpack around with them.
Yeah, too. When you're not using it to save their lives, we can just take them to the park.
We can take them outside. They're those kind of cats.
Yeah, they're really chill. They love being outside. So just have a plan in place. Like, where are you going to take your cat and yourself or your family? And how are you going to get that cat to a safe place or dog to the safe place? I'm clearly cat biased here.
So we see this. We hear this alarm.
Yeah.
We get up. We're like adrenaline rushed.
Yep.
We run and grab the cats.
Like, shut the doors.
Close the doors. Yep. Run into the, like, by the front door. Mm-hmm. Get the cat carriers ready.
Yep.
They're in. And we're like, okay. Bracing ourselves, and nothing happens. Can't even feel this earthquake. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Usually you have, what, like 10 seconds?
Yeah, right.
From when this alarm goes off until the shaking starts. So we had like 10 seconds to have all this done.
So, I mean, we were ready. Fast.
So it actually got to test us to see how we did. And I think we did pretty well.
Yeah. The cats are like, what's going on? What are you doing?
Yeah. So just have a plan in place for your animals. Because it's a very real thing here. You never know when a big earthquake's going to hit or a flood, a tsunami.
There's earthquakes all the time. Like, that's normal.
Yeah.
They're usually small. They don't bother you at all. I actually like them. They're pretty fun.
I don't mind them either. And now that I just know that, like, Tokyo is set up for a big quake.
So she's worried about, you know, like, the big one coming at some point. But
well, they're saying it can. It's my number is, it is... There's a 70% chance that a 9.0 will strike Tokyo in the next 30 years. And to me, that's a high enough figure that every time a quake happens, now I'm like, this is going to be the one.
Right. It's like, that could be any time. It could be past our lifetime.
Yeah.
We're in an earthquake safe place. True. All that kind of stuff.
Truly, it's not something to worry about. Yeah. It's just...
She's just in that mindset
right
now.
Yeah, I'm in that zone.
Yeah.
But most of them are fine.
But it's good, though. At least we're prepared for it.
Yeah. So, even with all the trials and restrictions of having animals, I still would choose to have them. Like, looking back at it, it definitely
it was worth it.
A pain. It's a pain to move to a new country. There's always going to be learning curves with, you know, ordering your food or learning how to take out your trash or how to ask them to please not give you 5 million plastic bags when you go buy your stuff.
Oh. Plastic bags in plastic bags in bags.
And thing that's wrapped.
It's just like Inception plastic.
Yeah. So there's always going to be learning curves and struggles, but cats, I think, are animals in Japan are totally worth it.
I'm like so distracted by Momo. He's
circling.
He was circling around, and then he came up, and his recent most favorite thing to do is perch on my little arm. So I'm on
the armrest.
The armrest of my chair. And he'll just sit there like a parrot. And just watch and observe, and I'll pet them, you know, like an evil overlord with their cat. That's pretty much the picture I have in my mind. But yeah, he was doing that, and then now he just went back under. And
he's over it.
He's done.
So that is all of our cat info and our cat story of Momo and Nova. And you will hear them from time to time through our podcast, because we podcast at random times whenever we kind of feel like it. Mm-hmm. And so they may or may not be sleeping. So they'll come in here and they'll start purring into the mic or trying to eat the mic or whatever.
We tried to escape them this time. They were asleep. So it was a good
opportunity. Yeah, we're like, okay, they're asleep. Let's go.
It's like parents.
Yeah. And then one last thing is we were going to give a recommendation of a YouTube video.
Oh, yeah.
That we saw on TikTok.
Oh, man. TikTok has some of the best crap.
TikTok just like...
I get so much random information from it.
So much information. It's just the funniest stuff.
Yeah. I hope they like fix TikTok and all that stuff. That's a separate issue. Yeah. But yeah. Basically, there's a YouTube video of string videos for your cat.
Yeah.
And it's like the best way to have your cat break your TV.
Essentially.
You know, yeah. And so it's like, okay, I know the risks, except. And it just plays little strings that go up and down on your TV.
Yeah.
And it drives them insane. And so we tried it and.
Well, Momo was like.
Momo's just watching like, I know that's fake. That's not a real string.
Yeah, he's.
You're just trying to mess with
me. He's on another level.
And then Nova's just. Instinctual brain turns on like must destroy, must kill, and just
her wild animal like took over. She's like meow, 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 meow.
It's like cute destruction.
It really is. So if you have a cat, recommend, but don't recommend.
Take... How to break your TV, you know. Yeah. It's pretty funny. Another thing I thought about is a lot of times we refer to them in a different name, so you might hear us reference them. We call them the Chans.
And this started well before were going to move to Tokyo.
Yeah, so this was like we're learning about Japan just in general years and years ago.
Yeah, we're learning about honorifics.
It's mostly anime, right? You're like, what is san? What is chan?
Yeah.
You know? And so when we got the cats, we named them Mowgli-chan and Nova-chan.
Nova-chan, yeah.
And so we call them the Chans.
Yeah.
And so we've just called them the Chans all the time. And when we go home, you know, like people are like, hey, kitties. We're like, hey, Chans. And then that derived, you know, how your weird brain takes over and you're like, all right, Chans. Yes, you'll also call them Bons.
Chan-bon.
Chan-bon, right? Yeah. And then it starts deriving but you
only
more.
Only Nova is Chan-bon.
Right. Momo is a Chan.
Yes.
And Nova's a Chan, but... Only Nova is the Bon.
Only Nova is Chan Bon.
So she's Chan Bon.
Or Bonner.
Or Bonner, right? It keeps, we keep going down this trail, right? So we just start having all these pet names, right?
Yeah.
So she's like the Chan Bon, Chan Bonner, you know, and it keeps cascading.
Yeah.
We even start doing it like songs.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know if anyone else did this growing up or singing in choirs or something, but. You'd use like a fake term, like watermelon. So if you don't know the words and you're trying to sing, you're like, watermelon, watermelon. Mm. And we do Chan and Bon like that.
Interchangeably in songs.
Right. It's like the boys' song or whatever. I was busy thinking about Chans.
Yeah.
Bons.
Or Chans. What was the other one we were talking about? Oh, Africa.
I bless the rains down in Chonerbon.
Yeah, so we do that all the time.
Oh, it's every song.
And it's not
ever
that we plan it. We're literally just singing, and then we replace the exact same words with Chon or Bon.
It's amazing.
It's so hilarious. So we crack ourselves
90%
up.
Of the songs are Chonerboner, Chon Bon, Bon Chon.
So if your ears refer to Chan or Bon, it's the cats.
Yep. Now you know. I mean, this is like that internet junk that just goes on and it's hilarious or it's not to you. But for us, it's so funny. Yeah. Good stuff.
So that is our cat episode. If you have any questions about pets in Japan, about our cats. Oh, they do have an Instagram.
Oh, that's right.
If you would
like
to follow them. I have been really bad about updating it.
We've been neglecting it.
Yeah. So maybe if they get some new... interaction on there, I'll start updating it more regularly. But on Instagram, it's Momo and Nova.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So it's MOMOANDNOVA.
Right. You can put it in the description.
And I'll put it in the description. And then if you, like I was saying, if you have any questions about pets or cats or our cats, just send us an email to the Tokyo Adventures Podcast at gmail.com. You can also shoot us a DM over on Instagram or on Twitter, and I'll be happy to talk to you about cats literally anytime.
Would you like to hear about my cats?
Right. That
you need one of those shirts, like, ask me about my cats.
I have a little placard on my Instagram story.
Yeah.
It's like the life. Instagram story cover, and it says ask me about my cats.
Didn't you have, or you were talking about a plaque for like if you had a desk?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I took a picture of it, and like that's what I wanted. I don't care about my name, just I want to talk about my cats.
Like if you were a CEO important person, that's what it would say is
ask me
about
my
cats.
Yep. Absolutely. I think that's gonna be it for today, and we'll talk to you guys hopefully again in the next week or so. Any questions you have, any suggestions you have, we'd love to hear them. Just shoot us an email or a DM, and I guess we'll talk to you guys next time.
All right.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.